You are listening to the Punk News Podcast, and we are still in the freestyle era. This is John G, and I'm here with M Moore. M Moore, what's
Hey,
happening? What's going on?
I am back after a week's absence.
Were you doing something fun or something not fun?
I just had a lot of stuff to catch up on, and my mom's birthday was like last weekend, sort of earlier
Did you
this
say
week.
mum? Like English, MUM. Did you say mum or mom?
Mom,
Say that again. Say it slow. Say, me and me mum went to the haberdasher.
the haberdashery. Me and my mom went to the
Are you
haberdashery
saying
and we got
MOM
matching
or MU?
hats.
Are you saying MOM or MUM?
To be completely honest, I've never thought about it.
What do you mean you've never thought about it?
Like,
Like you and I both watch some British shows. You watch like British
yeah,
shows, right? And they
I
say
do.
mum. In Britain they say MUM, mum, you know?
They
So
do.
you say but in America, M, the land of the free, we say mom, MOM.
I
I thought
spell it. Sorry?
in Canada I thought they said mom. What are you saying?
Well, like I spell it MOM, but I've never thought about how I say it. You know how you just like say words and sometimes you don't think about it? Like apparently bread is said differently, and it's like I don't think it is. Bread is the same,
What do
like
you mean,
kind of a
bread?
universal
Bread? What
thing.
do you mean?
I had somebody say that I said bread differently,
Then
and that's
who?
how they knew I was Canadian.
Then Americans? Bread?
But it sounds the exact same, right?
Yeah. Who are you
Yeah, it's the
talking? Who are these
exact
weird people?
same. I
Say it again.
don't, mom or bread.
You say bread the same?
Yeah,
Were
bread's
you
the
drinking
same.
milk out of like one of those plastic pouches at the time or something?
Yeah, the little oh my God, those things are terrible. They leak everywhere. Oh, flashbacks. But the big ones, like the big bags that you put in like the little pitchers, those are cool. I like we have those. You can't buy unbagged milk. Come on. Who puts milk in cartons, John?
America, the
Who?
land of the free. We're
But
free to put our milk
bags.
in any container that we want. M's got a brand new M more tells you what to listen to. The
Oh
hottest new
yeah.
tracks of January 24, that is up now, as well as the Sammy B and John, I would say solo adventure, but it's not solo, duo adventure from last week.
Hell
And
yeah.
probably by the time you hear this, my Mean Jeans interview is going to be up. My interview with Mean Jeans. They got a brand new album out. It's real good. So check
Nice.
that out. And I think M's got a couple interviews at their website as well.
Yeah, I will plug them real quick. I talked to Lexi and Ashley of Bitch Fest. So they are bookers at STMV Product Promotions, sorry, which stands for Save Toronto Music Venues. This is the third year they're putting on the festival. It's not like your traditional festival. It's put on over like the entire month of March. So every weekend there's some pretty stacked shows. They have a lot of great bands that focus on like women and queer people and non-binary people and trans people, and they have so many like again killer bands like Mall Crimes are playing, Thunder Queens are playing, who are like this really cool like up and coming kind of young band. They have just so many rad bands. I'm hoping to get to like a show or two. But I talked to them. The interview has 15 comments, and that scares me, so I'm not going to read them.
I'll read it right now for you, and let me take a
Oh
look here.
God, okay.
Let's see here. So
Hang
I am
on to
now
your
looking.
hats.
Let's see here. I will say the comment section of the Punk News has been actually a little bit more positive the past year or so than it has been the before that. And then before that, it was like a real war zone. I mean, it comes and
Oh
goes.
my
Sometimes a
God.
real war zone. Sometimes it's not that bad. I'm looking right now.
Okay. I don't like the
Let's just see. The people comment here probably don't get a lot of dates, and they probably go to a website and commiserate, and they don't get a lot of dates and have formed some sort of organization where they announce they're unable to get dates, which still astounds me that anyone would form a group on the fact of kind of being, I don't know, a loser. But anyways, that's who, that, you know, listen, man. If you write to please the masses, it's going to be mediocre, M. You got to write for yourself. That's what David Bowie said.
Hell yeah. And like, seriously, who's a better artist? There are a few.
Then David
Bowie's
Bowie?
The man.
Bowie's pretty top ranking. I mean, I would say there are others that are equal. I don't know if I'd feel comfortable saying, well, there's something that I might place above just personally, but like Bowie's pretty, and honestly, also all the way through from the beginning to the end, you know. I mean, he had some bumpy albums, but the last three or four were actually like super duper good. So overall, pretty good discography. Anyways, Dave Bowie's cool. Check out M's interviews with the Bitch Fest founders at Punk.
And I need to plug my other one.
Oh, what's the other one?
Before, real quick. I also talked to Nathan Spadehauer of Meth. They are awesome. They just released Shame, which is their second full-length album, the first one that Nathan plays on. Absolutely killer. It rocks. Check out Meth, the band. It's Meth with a period. That's how you can differentiate it, because if you don't type in the period or you don't type in the band, social media will not allow you to see them.
Well, I believe there's like a bunch of bands called Meth. There are a few. What's the band Meth that has got like the pink and green cover? Is that this band Meth, or is that a different Meth band?
That is a different Meth. These guys are red.
Listen, because you can listen to Meth, but don't do Meth. Meth is bad, okay?
But Meth the band is good.
There you go. So do Meth, the band. Let's see here. I guess we can hit some news. Here's some news that was fun. I thought this was going to be one that kind of like blew the internet up like articles do once in a while. But it kind of came and went, and people thought it was funny or amusing, but it didn't really set the world on fire. Third Eye Blind, a band that, frankly, astoundingly, is existed before M existed, which is weird to think about. They have released a gold record, a literal gold record, but the record itself is actually copper coated in gold, and it's a 5-inch record. And on the A side is their hit Jumper. M, do you know the song Jumper?
I would need to hear the chorus.
I wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend.
Oh, I know that song.
And
I didn't know it was
understand.
Called Jumper.
I will understand. Do you know that band, Em? Or that song?
I do know that song. I didn't know that's what it was called.
That song was massive in the 90s. Like literally, I mean, it was as big as songs get in North America in the 90s. It was huge. Third Eye Blind had, I don't know why I'm telling the listeners who Third Eye Blind is. I'm sure they all know. But at any rate, they had three huge hits. I think Jumper was the biggest. The other was, How's It Gonna Be When You Don't Know Me Anymore? And what was the other? Oh, Semi-Charmed Life.
Yeah.
Or maybe that was the song I just sang. I don't know. You know, all their songs sound the same. Anyways, it's not arena rock. Actually, at the time, it was considered alt rock along the lines of bands like Cake and what's his name? Beck, and bands like even like Ween and even like Butthole Surfers. Third Eye Blind was kind of the tail end of that, you know, kind of where alt rock kind of became bland modern rock a la Foo Fighters. So Third Eye Blind kind of existed. So at the time, Third Eye Blind was definitely considered alt rock and was cool, if you will. I mean, I always thought they were lousy. And if you want an old article, probably from 10 or 15 years ago on the AV Club, where the studio producer of this record talks about dealing with the guy from Third Eye Blind, and it's pretty hilarious.
Oh no.
Apparently the guy's a huge dick, and I've heard that from other places too. I think his name is Thomas something. But so anyways, through this company called Precious Sounds, I think it's called Precious Sounds. Precious Sounds, they're putting out a copper and then gold covered record. It's a 5-inch record. The A side is Jumper, and the B side is just an etched image. There's also a silver version, and you can even commission a pure gold version. The regular copper / gold version, $800, but if you're broke, you can buy the silver one for $450. The pure gold one, you have to email them to get a quote. And I don't feel, I mean, I saw some numbers floating around. I'm not going to throw them out because I can't confirm them at all, but it was a very large number. And so, I mean, this raises a whole lot of things. Is A, who is buying this? There's 500 gold records, 2,000 silver ones, and 25 pure gold ones. So let's do the math real quick, Em. 800 times 500 is what? $400,000. So, and remember that number, $400,000.
$400,000.
Now I'm going to multiply 2,000 by 450. That's going to be 900. All right, I got it. So 900, 9,000, 90,000, 900,000. And what number did I tell you?
400,000.
$1.3 million if they sell them out on out. Now, of course, it's not all profit, but that's a lot of cash, man. And that doesn't even include the pure gold one if they sell any. So the question is, could they possibly be able to sell 2,500 of these things? I would say I'd be surprised if they sell one, because there are collector Third Eye Blind fans, but are there that many? But on the other hand, people blow $10,000 on a Misfits or a Sandman record or a Minor Threat record. So is this that different? Second, should Third Eye Blind be ashamed of themselves? Because it kind of goes back to that Tim Armstrong NFT thing, where Tim Armstrong was selling NFTs for $5,000 and he knew full well they were going to be worthless. And people bought them because they wanted a piece of Tim Armstrong and basically spent $5,000 on a JPEG. Third, historically, gold, not so much silver, but gold actually has always gone up in value. So you could say it's actually a pretty good investment. But on the other hand, if you're going to invest in gold, it doesn't need to be Third Eye Blind themed. And if you're going to spend $500 in gold, you'll get more just in regular gold than you will with a copper record painted in gold or whatever. You know what I mean? So,
100%.
What's your take on all those questions with this? Is this a wacky, fun idea? And if people buy into it, poo-poo on them, because people can buy or not buy whatever they want.
Ooh. This is 100% a cash grab. I don't know how much money Third Eye Blind fans have. So I don't know if it's like a predatory thing or if it's just like, haha, hello, fellow wealthy folks, buy a gold record. But this is a bad idea, kind of all around. I think it's a bad idea for the people who buy it, and I think it's a bad idea for the band to roll it out. I just think this is a bad idea in general. Did the single go gold?
Yeah, many times over, I think. I'm sure.
Okay. So, like, that's kind of clever, but it's also like, why are they doing this? Is there an anniversary of the single? Is this just to be like, haha, buy this? I'm not getting good vibes from it. It does seem very much like we went for the lowest kind of common denominator to try to get money. Like, you know, when you go you go on YouTube and it's like, I'm going to eat the most expensive burger on the planet. And it is like coated in gold leaf. And that's pretty much like all you're paying for. And gold leaf really isn't that expensive. Or whatever.
Plus it's so tasty.
Sparkly poops. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not that. So that's the vibe that this is giving me. I do think that this is, or collecting like Samhain or Misfits or like Minor Threat stuff is different, because like those were the original, you know, few runs, like not very big. Like there's more like a collector value to it. You're catching like such a snapshot in time and music history, and very, very influential bands that like you can still hear their influences like echoing down the generations, kind of thing. I don't think anybody, and not to like, you know, be mean to Third Eye Blind here, but I don't think a lot of people cite Third Eye Blind as this is the band that made me want to be a band. According to the story, you can get the regular CD version for $1.94, and it has a second track. So that sounds like a good deal if you want to get the single. This doesn't even have the second track. It just has an etching. So you're getting hosed. If you want to invest in gold, invest in actual gold. You know, the what was it? 0.997 24 karat gold that coats the copper is not going to go up very much in value or anything. If you get the solid gold one, obviously it will because it's solid gold. But buy like gold bonds or gold bars or gold jewelry or whatever. Like buy something like that that's actually fully gold instead of just something that's been like just brushed. Also, the copper record coated in 997 gold celebrates the song's transition from dark to light and its message of inclusivity and understanding that we all sing along to with a common heart is quite a description.
It is, I think they're playing off the fact that the song Jumper, I think I'm getting this right, is the guy's friend is gay and he wants to commit suicide or something, and he's saying,
oh no,
even if we're not friends anymore, don't commit suicide. That's what the song is about.
Well, like that's a good message. Stay alive.
Well, that's why I went 3 times platinum, man. 3 times platinum.
That's a lot. Why didn't they press it in platinum then? Why go for gold when you can go for platinum? See, if they pressed it in platinum and made it like smaller, like not as much availability, I think that would be cool because that has significance.
So here's my take, and this is dopey. It's a dumb idea. And really Third Eye Blind probably should be ashamed of themselves. I think this is probably gonna be a huge fail because the company that does I don't think Third Eye Blind said, yes, let's make a gold record company. I think this company Precious Sounds is actually run. I think they approached Third Eye Blind, and it's run by some fairly young people. They look like they're about 25 to 30 to me, maybe 35, but pretty young. And so did these young people, and like, did they come up with multi-million dollars to put this together, or did daddy give them some money and they liked records and they thought this was a good idea? And actually I would bet very strongly that the people that thought of this idea, come from money, because someone that didn't come from money that was interested in records wouldn't say, yes, this is how I'm going to make money. Making a gold record that I can only sell to millionaires or whatever, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's a dumb idea. I think it's going to fail. And if you buy one, I say shame on you because you were dumb enough to buy one. I don't think it's going to be very successful. I'd be surprised if they sold 10. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I just can't, like, it's not a piece of history. You know what I mean? It's a dumb knickknack. That's the difference. It's a dumb knickknack, you know, that, you know. So maybe some chic in Dubai will buy, you know, those guys in Dubai, they buy like a new Bentley like every week or whatever, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe one of those guys will buy it that really likes Third Eye Blind. In which case, I say, well, yeah, sell that. In which case, I would salute Third Eye Blind. Actually, like, good play. My fear here is the same with Tim Armstrong, in that, like, I really hope just some knucklehead fan isn't blowing, like, what this thing? Oh, 800 bucks.
800.
Isn't blowing, like, 800 bucks on a worthless piece of crap. And not worthless, but it ain't worth 800 bucks. I mean, this is just a piece of crap. And also, I mean, what also counts against it is that there's 500 of the gold ones. And as you and I know, 500 records in 2023 is actually, I mean, it's not a massive pressing, but it's not like super obscure, you know.
It's a good size.
I've got record pressings that are like 15, 10, you know what I mean? That's a small run. 500 is kind of your standard print, you know, for most indie bands, frankly. Unless they are selling these to Arab sheiks or whatever, I do think that Third Eye Blind should feel kind of bad about this and not cool. I mean, they're basically seeing their fans as money, as money generators as opposed to fans. And I'm not saying you shouldn't get paid by your fans. Your fans definitely should pay. But the difference between, I mean, it just goes back down to paying a fair value for what you get. You know, if you go to a show and you pay 20 or 40 or 60 bucks and the band rocks, well, then you got what you paid for. You got something cool, you know. If you pay, you know, if you buy a record for 30, you get the record. If you buy a super deluxe edition of a record for 100, well, it's $100, but it's a super duper deluxe edition, and it's something cool that you can listen to. This is a knickknack that probably barely plays. It's a song you can get on Spotify for free or get on CD for $1. It really is just taking advantage of gullible or fans with too much money. I guess if we knew it was all people that just had too much money, then I wouldn't feel as annoyed by it. But that being said, I think it's tacky and kind of not cool. Along those lines, though, I don't recommend spending $10,000 on Misfits Records or Samhain Records either. I could be wrong. I remember when Misfits Records were first hitting $600, $800. I'm like, that's crazy. And I told the story before. I'll never forget going to Amoeba Records and seeing a first press of Nervous Breakdown on the wall for $150. And me going, $150? Who's going to pay that for a 7-inch record? And that 7-inch record is now worth $15,000, which I bought. So anyways, the point being is, though, I don't see how we're not at the apex or very close to the apex of records. Investing is good. Investing is a good idea. Investing in records is a bad idea unless you're like me and you buy them today to sell tomorrow, you know. And you're not going to – I don't think you're going to be able to sell a $10,000 Misfits record for – a sizable profit, frankly. So I mean, if you want to buy that as a piece of history and enjoy it, I guess that's your money. What you want to do for it. I wouldn't do it. You know, I would buy one for a few hundred, maybe even. I would buy one for a couple thousand to resell. But if I was going to buy one for myself, you know, the hundreds is where it kind of starts to top out. You know, it just like $10,000. But then again, I mean. If someone bought like a $50,000 car, or well, that's not even that much for a car. If someone bought a $150,000 car and they had the money to buy a $150,000 car, I'd say that's cool, man. That's a cool car.
So maybe you can use it.
Maybe a $10,000 Misfits record is just as cool because it's fun to look at and it's fun to say. I mean, I collect records, so yeah. But the Misfits record, which is a piece of history, is different than this stupid knickknack. This knickknack is not a piece of history; it's a stupid knickknack. And here's the other main difference. When Glenn Danzig was selling Misfits records in 1979, 1980, they were selling for like $6 or three bucks. Like they weren't being sold as this is something that you invest in and should get money. Whereas this dopey gold record, they're like, see, it's gold. It's worth a lot of money. It seems to be suggesting to the consumer that the consumer is dumb and would fall for a stupid ploy. That's the main difference, I guess. And this record is dumb. But I'll be interested to see if this takes off. I don't think it will because their social media only has 1,400 followers. The number of likes that they have on this stupid record is less than 1,000. And not that social media is the end all or be all, but you know, the amount of social media feedback is sort of a heuristic as to how popular something is or how interested people are. So it looks like it's going to be a failure to me. And it's a dopey idea. And I'm not trying to be too much of a mean guy. You know, if someone comes up with a neat idea and it fails, I'm not going to kick them when they're down. But this does seem to be a dopey idea designed to take advantage of the gullible and Arab sheiks. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, 100%. Like, if they announce this and they were like, oh, it's X amount of dollars, but we're going to be donating X amount of dollars to, like, a mental, like, health charity or something, that would be a cool idea.
Well, you actually.
This is not that. Sorry.
Along those lines, Em, is just to confirm that you and I are not racist, I just recall a similar story. When Wu-Tang sold that record for $2 million, everyone's like, that's kind of dopey and kind of not cool. Well, this is the same thing with Third Eye Blind. You know what I mean? So we are not racist, Em. Not racist.
But like the Wu-Tang thing's different because that's only one
version. No, I'm saying it's the same. I'm saying it was not cool for Wu-Tang to do that.
Oh, you know sorry. I mean? Oh, okay.
That's what everyone said. Now, if you and I were like, you know, if you and I were like, Third Eye Blind can do whatever they want because people love Third Eye Blind, you know, then that would be kind of racist because we were like, poo-poo on Wu-Tang. But we were consistent, Em. So pungnews.org, yes. Very consistent in everything we do.
100%. The first comment on social media, on their social media post is, I'll wait for the Semi-Charmed Life single that's dipped in crystal meth.
Yeah, actually,
I just wanted to share that.
I did look at the Third Eye Blind post for, and it was all, I think it was all negative, like 100% comments, that is. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm pulling up right now. How's it gonna be when you don't love me anymore? How's it gonna be? Here we go. So there's 14 comments. Here we go. Em, ready?
Yes.
Negative, negative, neutral, positive,
positive,
positive, ooh, positive, positive. No, negative, positive, positive, negative, neutral, neutral. Very
Centurion.
So Em, how many are you gonna order?
Oh, I hold out for the solid gold. Yep.
I can only imagine like the havoc this thing wreaks on your needle. Can you imagine putting your needle on metal?
Wouldn't it just Man. Break? Oh my god, you get sparks.
I mean, like the way a record player works is a record technically isn't wax, but we call it wax. It's a what do you call it? Dinosaur bones. What do you call that?
Petroleum.
Petroleum. It's a petroleum product that is very malleable and very tender is not the right word, but tender for lack of a better word. And so the way it works is the grooves in the record vibrate the needle. The needle sends a vibration to the receiver, which then generates the sound off the vibration or amplifies the vibration actually. And it really is, I mean, record players are over 100 years old. It really is astounding the science behind a record player and how someone was able to figure out how to literally replicate sound through grooves and vibrations. I mean, that's a sound. So the point being is the records are very soft. Metal is the exact opposite. So I just can't imagine how it would work at all or want just to totally destroy your needle, you know. But but I guess, and we haven't addressed the main question, and,
oh,
and
yes,
we're beating this to death. But why? Why? Like why would I want a record made of a metal that is not good for the as a record material? Like, why? You know what I mean?
Because it looks so cool.
It looks to me that says I'm a dope, you know. Anyways, so No Effects, they've announced their three final shows: October 4, October 5, October 6 in San Pedro, California. Bands opening for them across the three. They actually haven't announced them all, but bands playing Mix Picks or MXPX. I like to call them Mix Picks. Bouncing Souls, Buzzcocks, which really is only like one member of the Buzzcocks anymore. Lagwagon, Subhumans, Strung Out, Think of It All, Good Riddance, Co-Defendants, Flatliner, Swingin' Utters, DOA, Mad Caddies, DI, Lewicidal, Bad Cop, Get Dead, We Are the Union, The Last Gang, Polly Van Damme, and Das Clown. Now, is it Das Clowns or is it Das Clown? Because Das Clown is a Long Beach band that used to hang out with Sublime. But is Das Clowns a different band? Do you know him?
I do not know. I am not sure.
One cool and you know I'm always mixed on NoFX, but
it is. It's yep. That's
das
a typo.
Clowns.
I
no no
put an
no
S.
It is Das. No, it is Das Clowns. I'm looking at the
poster
right
is?
Here. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know anything about the band Das Clowns. Go ahead. What were you gonna say?
When I searched Das Clown, it showed up on that Instagram account. We have a mystery on our hands.
Because I'm looking at the NoFX Instagram right now, and it clearly says Das Clowns with an S.
On Das Clown, no S, is Facebook. They have a NoFX final tour poster, and it says, it's official. Das Clown will be kicking off the final NoFX show Sunday, October 6th.
And are you ready to have your mind blown? I'm looking at the Das Clown Instagram,
okay,
and the NoFX poster is there, but on the Das Clown poster, it's spelled correctly.
Oh, they did that. Oh, okay. They're trying to cover.
Okay. What if it is some other band and Das Clown is hoping they can just show up and start playing? You know,
that would be so funny, and I really hope that's the case.
There are 1, 2, 3,
oh my
4,
gosh.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 more bands to be announced. One thing that is cool about these NoFX shows is that they are doing them outside the Ticketmaster Live Nation. They're doing them their own way at like campgrounds and stuff. So I got to say, cool on NoFX for that. I mean, that's actually pretty cool. I would definitely give them that. Now, we're going to play a game where John is going to guess whether M was giving the opening bands to NoFX thumbs up, thumbs down, or thumbs side to side. MXPX, okay. Thumbs down. And M, do you want to react or not react?
I saw a live stream of them during COVID, and I was impressed by how they were live. So I okay. would see them in person.
So that's thumbs up. Bouncing Souls, M gives a thumbs up too.
I know a couple Bouncing Souls songs, and I would check them out and kind of like, because I know Sam really likes them. So I was like, okay, what's the hype?
So that's a thumbs up then, right?
Yes.
Buzzcocks, even though it's only one Buzzcock, thumbs up from M.
Yes.
Lagwagon, thumbs down.
I am not a huge Lagwagon fan, so you are correct. Again, I know a couple of songs. Sorry?
Subhumans, two thumbs up for sure. I know M's a big Subhumans hell yes. fan.
I'm reading the book now.
Strung Out, I'm going to say thumbs side to side.
I'm not a big Strung Out fan.
Thumbs down. Sick of yeah. It All, thumbs side to side.
They're okay. Yeah.
Good Riddance, thumbs down.
Not a big, yep, correct.
Codefendants, thumbs down.
I don't like them.
Yeah, not good. Like, I'm amazed that like they do have such a they have a following simply due to the situation of Fat Mike. And I'm like, if Fat Mike wasn't there, like would anyone like this band? You know,
I don't think so. Flatliners,
thumbs side to side.
Thumbs up. I like the Flatliners.
I'm surprised by that. Swingin' Utters, thumbs side to side.
I like some of their stuff. I don't like others. So yeah, that checks out.
DOA, she will get thumbs up just because they're Canadian.
Yeah, and DOA rocks.
I saw DOA at a show once where there was like literally like 14 people there.
Ooh, how was it?
The show was awesome. They actually whipped ass. Yeah. It was at Bam Margera's Club in Westchester, Pennsylvania, which was it called the Ram or something? And there was like 14 people there on a Sunday, and I felt bad for them, but it was a rad show.
Why were there only 14 people? Did they not like do any like promotion for it? Like DOA are awesome.
Yeah, but I mean DOA doesn't have a huge draw, but the reason the draw was really bad there is it wasn't super well publicized, and also Westchester people, this won't make any sense to you, Em, but Westchester okay. people will travel to Philadelphia to see a show, but Philadelphia people won't travel to Westchester. And so it's just a bit like, it was a cool idea to have a punk venue in a suburb, but in the practicalities of it, it's actually a bad idea. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, sure. Wouldn't it be cool if we had a clubhouse? Well, yeah, but then you got to make it pay for itself. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
And I've told my Bam Margera story before, haven't I?
I believe you've met him twice.
Yeah, okay. Third, yes. So anyways, Mad Caddies, I'm going to say M's going to give side to side.
I'm not like the world's biggest fan of them, but I haven't given them a fair shake. I've just kind of listened to one or two songs. Is that down to side to side? I have to say side to side because I don't have a strong opinion. I've only, again, like listened to maybe two songs.
DI, side to side.
Yep.
Lewisidal, thumbs up, I'm saying.
I have not heard of this band before.
Lewisidal is Louis Majorca of Suicidal Tendencies' original lineup, doing the first two Suicidal Tendencies records and stuff written in that style, which is that is the punk Suicidal Tendencies as opposed to thrash Suicidal Tendencies.
That sounds cool. Okay.
Bad I will Cop, give Bad it a thumbs Cop, up. And Moore's giving a thumbs up too.
Yeah, they're cool.
Get Dead, thumbs down.
I don't like Get Dead.
We are the they're not for me. Up.
Yes.
Last Gang, I'm going to say slight thumbs up from M.
Yeah, I don't mind them.
Polly Van Damme, side to side from M.
She can really sing, but I don't know any of her solo stuff. Like, I know I know one thing she was featured on, so I would have to see what she did. So that would be side to side.
Das Clown, you gotta give Das Clown four thumbs up, man, just for getting on that show one way or another.
They're gonna show up. There's gonna be Das Clown and Das Clowns, and they're gonna have like a battle of the bands. And it's going to be really funny.
Well, there you have it. Along those lines, we mentioned Bad Cop, Bad Cop, Bad Cop, Bad Cop. I just said Bad Cop, Bad Cop four times in a row. Or I said Bad Cop four times in a row. Anyway, Bad Cop, Bad Cop. Yes. They're in the studio. They are presumably working on a new album, although it could be a single or an EP. We're always very careful about that because there used to be another website that would say, like, Green Day is coming out with a new album next year. based off the fact that in the interview they said, we're thinking about writing songs this summer. So then the publication would say, Green Day, new album next year, which, and they were always wrong. And I was always proud that Punk News never jumped the gun like that. And so we always say people in the studio recording new music, could be an album, could be an EP, could be a single, who knows? And actually, we were very safe about that when we talked about Circle Jerks being in the studio. And I'm glad we were safe about that. More updates in a couple months, maybe, on that. At any rate, Bad Cop, Bad Cop was in the studio. And who was in the studio, you say, John? Well, of course, Stacey D, because she's in Bad Cop, Bad Cop. Lynn Lay, of course, because she's in Bad Cop, Bad Cop. Myra Galarza, who, of course, is in Bad Cop, Bad Cop. And new member, Alex Windsor, who the band hasn't technically said is a new member yet. Meanwhile, of course, Jenny Cotterill, who was one of the original Bad Cop, Bad Cops, hasn't been in the band's social media for about 2 years now or so. And if you go on the Wikipedia, because she's out of the band, according to her Instagram, it appears she says she's not in the band, but Bad Cop, Bad Cop themselves have stoutly refused to address the issue. And of course, there was a little bit of a hubbub. It's like, well, we don't owe anybody an explanation, blah. I don't think they owe anybody an explanation, but I do think they should at least let people know who is or is not in the band, because you want to know who's making music that you like. And I think if they said Jenny's not in the band anymore, Jenny's taking a hiatus, and here's Alex and she's real cool, I think Bad Cop fans would probably accept that more or less. I know there was a little bit of hubbub when the hubbub was going down. People were like, well, people wouldn't say that about a guy band. But I was thinking, yes, they would. Like as I was saying before the show started, when Brian Johnson was replaced by Axl Rose in AC/DC, it was a huge friggin' deal. And people were like pissed off, yeah. You know. When Jello got replaced and Dead Kennedys, not replaced, but when Dead Kennedys reformed without Jello, it was a big deal. When the Germs, reformed without Darby Crash, it was a big deal, you know? And so I just think it was weird how Bad Cop handled it. And you know, when something clearly is happening and a band or whoever says, don't look over here, it only encourages more based on speculation from knuckleheads like myself. Whereas if they just said that Alex is with us right now and Jenny's on a hiatus, then, you know, I mean, or she's not in the band, then people wouldn't be as weirded out by it. But like I said, to Bad Cop's credit is, I think their plan mostly worked. It's been about 2 years now since Alex has been in the band, and Bad Cop has still refused to acknowledge that Jenny's not in the band. And I think fans have just gotten tired of asking, so they've just accepted it, which I guess they played their hand. The strategy, as they saw, worked, although I do wonder if that will cost them goodwill in the future, in that when people go see them, will people say, oh, well, I wish Jenny was still with them, or the songs aren't the same without Jenny. Whereas if they said Jenny's not in the band or she's on a hiatus and here's Alex, I think people will be more inclined to say, Bad Cop 2.0. It's cool, you know, and I like Bad Cop. I'm not beating them up. I like Bad Cop. I wish them well, and I would definitely go see them. I just think they handled this in a unique manner that we really haven't seen handled this way before, and I think it was kind of an unusual way to handle it, and really just today, I did sort of have an epiphany as to why it was so weird. It wasn't weird that they didn't say why Jenny's out of the band, which we technically still don't know if Jenny is out of the band. It's not weird that they didn't say why she's gone, but the fact that they refused to acknowledge that there's another person there and still haven't, technically, after 2 years, is odd, because you want to know who's in the band, frankly. You know, like, you want to know who's in your favorite baseball team. You want to know who's making the music that you're listening to. That's my take. Em, what's your hot take?
Yeah. When they released the video for Safe and Legal, Alex is in that video. And it was just kind of like, here's the video. And there was like one thing, like one line, I believe, on Fat Records for the pre-order of the vinyl that was just, these are the first songs that Alex has played on. And that was it. It was just kind of like one sort of this small mention. But again,
I think they might have started doing that because we actually like made it a point, like, to pull back the curtain a little bit, I was a little betwixt and in between, because it was at the time let me think I had some very brief private conversations with some people, mm-hmm. and it was my understanding that some people didn't want like this to have a light shined on it, you know, And so I was faced with the eternal battle that Punk News always has, that we're not a PR company. It's not our job to say exactly what bands want us to say. It's yeah. our job to report the news. And as silly as that might be, because it's Punk News, which sounds like it was made up by like a 9-year-old, you know. I do hold that kind of sacred, that unlike pretty much every other music website now, which is really just kind of a PR machine or fanzine, yeah. I still do want Punk News to be news, you know. Mm-hmm. And but on the other hand, it is just music, and you don't want to go like destroying people or beating people up, you know, for things that don't really matter that much, you know. And so we were kind of betwixt and between as to how do we want to handle this at Punk News. I don't think we could just, well, we couldn't say that Stacey's out of the band because we couldn't get confirmation on that, right? So she might still be in the band in some respect or another. But it was clear that she wasn't on the recordings, and we got new PR photos, I think. And so I felt annoyed that I was essentially being pushed to go along with this narrative that no one mentioned anything about this band. No one mentioned the change. You know, let's act like it didn't happen, and that this person has always been. I felt annoyed that I was having to play along with the game, if you will. And so I started posting when this first came out. I posted, these are their first recordings with Alex Windsor, which another point of view is, if we don't credit Alex, that's kind of not fair to Alex. Like, she should get her props too, you know? No one is saying we don't like Alex. She should get her props for being in the band. So I believe, I'm not sure, but I believe we started saying, these are the first recordings with Alex Windsor. And then I believe the Fat website kind of put that sentence in after we put it on punknews.org.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Got it. Yeah. That could have easily been. Well, yeah, because with when we talked about this like a little bit before, you know, I had the, I think it's great that they were able to kind of maintain the privacy of Genie, if that's kind of what was needed, and that's what it seems like is just kind of like a privacy issue. Like, maybe, again, like, we don't know what's going on.
Pure speculation. I don't think it was a privacy issue, and I'm not going to say my guess on the podcast because I could be wrong.
Sure.
I think it was a different issue, and we have to guess. You know what I mean? But go ahead, Em. Go ahead.
Yeah. So that was kind of my thing, but to not really welcome the new player into the band does seem a little like strange. Where it's like, yeah, we don't need to know the reasons why, you know, Jenny is or is not in the band. You know, like, that's between the band and her and the band and whatever, right? We don't need to get into the full details there. But just to be like, here's a welcome to our new member, Alex. Like, we did some cool recordings and we had some fun in the studio and here we all are. Like, just a little shout out to be like, this is our current lineup, would be helpful, especially, you know, so you don't put the wrong photo. It's like, oh shoot, those people aren't in the band anymore. Which is something that happened to me earlier this week. So
what band was that you put up the wrong photo?
Hans Gruber and the Diehards. It's fixed now, but yeah, it was just, okay, I put up the wrong lineup. But so it is very helpful to know who's in the band. And also to just kind of, you know, give props to be like, Alex here and Alex kicks ass and yeah, you know.
Well, I agree. So there you have it. But I think the story, I think it's over, and I think this is going to continue with Alex, which is fine. Like, I'm not saying they shouldn't continue without Jenny. I'm just saying it would have been nice if they're like, here's Alex, everybody, you know.
Yeah.
So anyways, let's see what else we got here. Melvin's got a new album coming out. They always have a new album coming out. They put out like 2 or 3 albums a year, which is rad. The new one is called Tarantula Heart, and it's got Buzz Dale, Crover, Steve McDonald, and Roy Mayorga of Nausea and Amoebics. There's a new track out called Working the Ditch. It's totally rad. There is a bit of upheaval in the Melvins world in that, of course, when they went on their 40th anniversary tour with Boris, and the band did the entire album, Bullhead. They did Bullhead, which has a song, Boris, on it, which was awesome. Dale wasn't there because he had to have emergency spinal surgery or back surgery. And so now they're going on tour to Australia and Japan. And Dale still isn't going. He's recovered, but he and this is as per the Vinyl Guide podcast with Nate Goyer, which is a good podcast. Dale's not going because he didn't get a visa because he was still healing, and they weren't sure if he would be ready to go or not. So now the Melvins are going to Australia and Japan without Dale and with Cody, who subbed for Dale on the Bullhead tour, which basically will be almost an entire year that Dale hasn't toured with the Melvins, which is a long time. Kind of weird, but I guess it's unavoidable. I'm super psyched to have another double drummer Melvins album like they used to with Big Business with Roy Mayorga. Roy Mayorga is a great drummer. Like I said, he was one of the main guys that was responsible for the Amoebas reunion. He was in Nausea, one of the greatest crust punk bands of all time. Also, he was in Ministry and another band, Stone Sour, and he maybe Soulfly briefly or something like that. He's been in a bunch of bands. So at any rate, I'm psyched. The new track is very cool. I guess the question is, Em, is how much pals are the Melvins? The Melvins always say they're pals. But I don't know, Em. I don't know.
I think they're still pals. I think they're just having a bit of a rough patch. You know, when sometimes you just need to, well, that's not really a fair thing to say. But you know how sometimes if you're hanging around like the same group of people all the time, sometimes you just need a break to just kind of clear your head. I think that might be what's going on.
You were saying that sometimes some of your friends can become annoying and you don't want to be around them for a while?
No, not at all.
You're not saying that?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that.
No, I'm saying I got a couple of friends that sometimes can get really annoying. I'm like, you know, I don't want to hang around this person for a while.
Okay. I guess like that works better with the story. So let's go with that. That's not what I was alluding to, but let's go with that for the story. So it could just be something like that. Like, you know, emergency spinal surgery is a pretty nasty thing to have to undergo. Too, and sometimes
yes,
like
he's fully recovered now though. That's the see, that's the hinge.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, and they're not like, hey, come and do like backflips with us or you know.
And on the other hand, like when you've been in a band together for 40 years, maybe you're not always going to be friends, you know? I mean, people always want their bands, like their favorite bands, like hang out and be pals, you know? And like AC/DC, they weren't pals at all. Well, they were pals in the beginning, but afterwards they were not pals at all, you know? A lot of bands really are just creative working associates. But on the other hand, the Melvins were pals. You know, I don't know. I mean, we'll never know because they're so secretive in regards to that. And it goes back to the no means no thing. I mean, not no means no. Bad cop thing is, what are we entitled to know? You know, but it is kind of a mystery. But we'll probably never know. And I hope Dale is in the Melvins forever, because the Melvins are awesome and the new record is awesome and they're a great band and one of the best bands. Let's see here. What else we got to talk about? A couple of last stories. No Means No, they got a new book coming out. M, tell us about the new No Means No book. Also, the No Means No discography being reissued on Alternative Tentacles as we speak.
Ooh, yes. No Means No are great, and if you don't know them, then you're living under a rock and you need to go listen to all of the albums. But I didn't know they had a book coming out, or I guess it's out now. Yeah, it's out now. And so it's a oral and visual history of the band. It's called From Obscurity to Oblivion. And Fred Armisen did the foreword for the book, which I think is really funny. I think it's going to be a really good book. And it's out through PM Press, who also did the Silence is No Reaction, 40 Years of the Subhumans, which is an absolutely massive book. I'm reading it right now. It's very good. So I'm excited to have like a No Means No book because they're also a band I really like, and I'm sure there's so much stuff I don't know about them. And oral histories are so much fun to read. You know, you really get like kind of transported into it, and you get, for me, a different view of the people in it. You get a view of who they are as people, and also how different people remember different events, where somebody's like, oh yeah, this was just like a show we played. And then another member is like, oh my God, this was the best show we ever played. And there was this, that, and the other thing. Don't you remember this, that, and the other thing? And then the first person's like, oh yeah, I guess there was, you know, some cool stuff that happened. So I'm a big fan of oral histories. I'm a big fan of No Means No, and I will be definitely checking this out. What about you, John? Are you excited for the No Means No book?
You know, I don't know hardly anything about No Means No. The only thing I know about No Means No, frankly, well, I know a couple things. I know they've got the record with Yellow, which is great. They've got the spinoff band Hanson Brothers, which I like a lot. I've got all their albums. But I think I've probably listened to a No Means No album once in my entire life. I'm not and where should I start with No Means No?
Wrong.
All right, I will check out the Wrong album by No Means No. Last story, Mojo Nixon has passed away. Of course, Mojo Nixon was one of the first country punk guys. He was real funny. He did an album with Jell-O, it's Prairie Home Invasion, which is fantastic. I actually got to see Jell-O with Mojo do a full set. It was some sort of benefit in San Francisco, and it was really awesome to see like that side of Jell-O and Mojo. Mojo, of course, had a breakthrough hit once with Elvis Is Everywhere, and he was on Arsenio Hall and a couple of other things. And he also had a Sirius XM program, and also he kind of continually pointed out that country is outlaw anti-establishment music, as opposed to rah-rah pro-established music is what a lot of country is today. So yeah, man, Mojo RIP. He passed away too early, and it's a shame, but he put out a lot of great music.
I heartily second that.
Well, there you go. Any last words for the listeners, Em?
What do I have that I can, what wisdom can I dispense? I'm drawing a little bit of a blank for wisdom here, John. Do you have any? Oh, read all the interviews that are up on Punk News. There you go.
There you go. Sorry? Read all the beautiful wisdom. Read all the interviews at Punk News. And yes. Let's see what's coming up. We might have some couple of. We actually should start some guests on the podcast again. Also, yes. We're due for an album battle, so we're going to be doing an album battle maybe next week. So yeah, we'll see you next week. And you can always reach the podcast at punknews.org. See you next week.